This evening we're reading from Sri Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 28. This chapter is entitled Karma Yoga, text 28. One who is in knowledge of the Absolute Truth, Almighty Arm, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the difference between work and devotion and work for fruitive results. Purple by the language, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, E.J. The knower of the Absolute Truth is convinced of his awkward position in material association. He knows that he is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, and that his position should not be in the material creation. He knows his real identity as part and parcel of the Supreme, who is eternal bliss and knowledge, and he realizes that somehow or other he is entrapped in the material conception of life. In his pure state of existence, he is meant to dovetail his activities in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He therefore engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness and becomes naturally unattached to the activities of the material senses, which are all circumstantial and temporary. He knows that his material condition of life is under the supreme control of the Lord. Consequently, he is not disturbed by all kinds of material reaction, which he considers to be the mercy of the Lord. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, one who knows the Absolute Truth in three different features, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is called Taptavit, for he knows also his own factual position in relationship with the Supreme. End of purpose. Om Agyanandananda Shangasatana Chakshurana Tasmai Sri Guruvay Namah Namah Om Vishnu Upadaya Krishna Paristaya Bhutade Jumati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Chandavani Pasekhasatani. Translation again. One who is in knowledge of the Absolute Truth, Almighty Arm, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the difference between work and devotion and work for fruitive results. Well, mentions here that the Srimad Bhagavatam describes Taptavrit as one who knows the Absolute Truth in the three different features, namely Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So there's not many Taptavits in this world. There's not many people who know even a portion of the Absolute Truth. You can say that in the Bhagavatam it is realized in three features. The first understanding of the Supreme, the first aspect would be the all-pervasive aspect of Brahman. Of course, that's actually the third aspect, because the first aspect is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because everything is actually expanding from Him, Bhagavan. So that is the Lord in His impersonal feature, who is manifest everywhere as Brahman.
impersonal teacher apa namanya? Nirakar. Nirakar of industry, that is from Jagan, Paridaktoya.
And the another feature of the Lord is the Paramatma feature, the feature of Vishnu with four arms, who is situated in every atom and in between every atom.
So, that Paramatma prakash, which is called Paramatma prakash, when it comes to the Lord, which is called prakash, which is called prakash,
so he's all pervading impersonally and he's all pervading personally. The first aspect of Brahman is the goal of the jnanis, and the second aspect of Paramatma is the goal of the yogis. But apart from those three features, there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, who is residing eternally in his own planets. And also he expands his personality as Ram, as Vishnu, and he is also presiding in spiritual planets eternally. The Paramatma feature is only in the material creation. Because the function of the Paramatma is also situated in the heart of every living entity, is a witness, to witness our activities and reward us the same.
ভগবানের পরমাত্মা পরে প্রকাশ যে প্রতি তিনি বর্তমান থাকেন, তিনি সেখান থেকে আমাদের সমস্ত কার্যকলাপের উপদেষ্টা মহানন্দা হিসাবে কাজ করে থাকেন।
So a person who sees the complete picture, he is called Tattvavit.
So he is almost a
So you're all Tattvavits if you accept this. But still, now Prabhupada said, we are also convinced of our open position in the material association. Because we understand in essence we are spiritual, the soul is spiritual by nature. So in essence we are spiritual and our factual position is in serving the Lord. That is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because in the other two features, there's no service. In the other two features, Brahman and Paramatma, there's no service. So therefore, we find ourselves in an awkward position. The material world is designed, is a place for those who want to forget Krishna. It's a place where you want to become and imitate Krishna. So when we understand our actual position, we're actually the servants of Krishna, then we feel very awkward here. We feel very awkward. when we understand what, who we are, what we're supposed to be doing, because everything is designed to help us forget Krishna. The material nature works to help us, to distract us from Krishna. That we want to take the position of Krishna, and material nature is offering facility. Now, here you can enjoy this situation, that situation. And that's what we've been doing since time immemorial, while we've been in the material creation. Trying to fulfill the desires according to our, the different bodies that we take. So Srila Prabhupada says the when one knows, when he knows that his material condition of life is under the supreme control of the Lord, then one is not disturbed by all these material reactions. Which are all circumstantial and temporary. That means the body, according to our karma, is going to go through this lifetime, and it's going to experience happiness and distress according to our previous activities. So that's more or less already fixed. What's going to happen in this life, in your happiness and distress at it, it's more or less already fixed. So one has to tolerate this happiness and distress when it comes. One has to tolerate without being disturbed. Because our real business is to be serving Krishna. That's what we're trying to practice now. Because that's the natural position of the soul. In the spiritual world, all the souls are serving Krishna.
In the spiritual world?
Everyone, all the souls, all the living entities are serving Krishna. So now, in this, but we find ourselves, we've forgotten Krishna, and we're trying to serve ourselves. So now we have to reverse that procedure in putting Krishna's service more important than our own service. So this is the awkward position, because our own desires keep coming in front of Krishna's desires. That's the job of Mahamaya, is to distract us from Krishna. To keep us absorbed in trying to enjoy her or trying to control her.
উনি আমাদেরকে এমন একটি পরিস্থিতির মধ্যে গ্রস্ত রাখেন যেখানে আমরা সবসময় ভোক্তা বা নিয়ন্ত্রণ কর্তা বলে জাহির করতে থাকি।
So this is what we have to tolerate. The desire to control Maya or to enjoy Maya. While we are engaged in activities of Krishna consciousness. Shravanam, Kirtan, Vishnu, Smaranam, Achanam, Bandhanam, etc. Manivedanam, these nine devotional processes, this should be our, this is actually our life. These are the most nine most favorable things that we could be doing. Right, according to our acharyas, coming from Rupa Goswami. So well, we're trying to do that, and at the same time we have to tolerate the advances from the presentations of Maya, Mahamaya. So one has to become convinced that we are the eternal servant of Krishna. We're in this awkward position, we're in this material body, it has so many senses which have so many and so many desires. And everyone else, all the people are averse to Krishna, they're all envious of Krishna. Our leaders, our government, our teachers, they're all averse to Krishna. So above all that, we have to live with that. Then that is why we feel a little, it's not a very comfortable situation in the material world. So you simply have to accept this as your lot. This is your destiny because of your previous activities. You're going to suffer and enjoy experiences, these experiences, just according to your previous activities. Someone has to learn to be tolerant and patient. While we're executing the process of devotional service. And we can accept that as also as Krishna's mercy, because Maya is actually a very great devotee of Krishna. She must be, because she is a consort of Shiva, who is the topmost Vaishnava. Mahajan. Mahajan Tha Shambhu. So she is a consort of the, so she is also a very great Vaishnavi. But it's her, Prabhupada says, her thankless task to keep the souls bound up. So we can see that all these these distractions which are sent by Maya are actually under, she's working under the order of Krishna. So we can see all these, we can see all these as tests sent by Krishna. Oh, here's something very desirable for the senses. I can get some pleasure here. Maya is offering some nice facility to enjoy the senses. Oh no, Krishna, you're just trying to test me, right? I'm not going to fall for your tricks. Or sometimes very frightening situation, we want to defend ourselves, is also, but we should be taking shelter of Krishna. So we can see Krishna's hand. We should see Krishna's hand in everything. But in any case, we have to accept the happiness and distress that comes along. There's not much we can do about it. And accept them, they're just, Krishna is sending reminders that we're still not surrendered to Krishna completely. Because if we actually surrendered our minds to Krishna, then these things wouldn't bother us. But in the meantime, we simply tolerate. But being fixed in this knowledge, being attached to it, we should understand what the difference between activities in devotional service and activities in of sense gratification. That difference is knowledge. Tattavit. That the activities of sense gratification, we're shaping our next body, material body, and the activities of Krishna consciousness, we're designing our spiritual body. So when we have this conviction, then we'll be able to say no to Maya. Jai Pradhan Singh Bhagwan ki jai. Jai Shrimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Shubhubad ki jai. Dai Gopramanandi. Any comments or questions?
No.
Same too.
Yeah.
Krishna is known as many different teachers. One is uncontroversially accepted as Brahman and Paramatma and Bhagavan. Here in the course of discussion, he mentioned that Krishna is known as Bhagavan, the good Shamsundar Purushar in Bhagavan nature, that he has got one form as a Bhagavan. And also when he is manifesting himself as Paramatma, there also he is expanding himself as Chaturvushgaya, four and four. So there also we can see a form. But when we come to see the all-pervasive aspect of the Supreme, that is Brahman aspect, there is no form. He is present everywhere. So how can we accept it if he doesn't have any form? He, how to establish a relationship with him? So for me at least, I am a little confused that what sort of manifestation is this if there is no extent, if there is no any form of the God, how is he present everywhere?
It's like the light is present everywhere, but the bulb is localized like that. The energy is everywhere. But it's still it is spiritual, it is a transcendental energy. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, in the Brahma Bhuta Purushanatmana, that once one attains the state of Brahman, that means you're feeling the presence. You can actually perceive, when your senses are purified, the presence of Brahman. And when you feel that, when you contact that spiritual presence, Brahman, it feels so nice. Nicer than anything you've experienced before. Krishna says, you know no higher happiness once you taste this. Krishna says in that sloka that you know no higher happiness. In that sloka, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna. You don't know a better happiness than that. This is a platform of Brahma Bhuta self-realization. So when you contact the presence of the Lord, then that feels so nice, then you're not interested in sense gratification because you have something better. So it can be understood, but it's understood by direct perception of realization. And it's just a feeling you're experiencing. Okay.
Now, last sentence you said was about how to get this conviction to serve Krishna, not Maya. You didn't say how to get it. So we have to have conviction. So if you can talk about how to get the conviction.
কৃষ্ণকে শরণ করার জন্য মায়া থেকে বলে থাকে তো এইটা কিভাবে করা যেতে পারে এ ব্যাপারে আপনি একটু আমাকে বেশ করে বলে দেন।
Well, hearing is the most recommended thing. You're hearing about it. Our bhakti shastras like the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam, etc., they're explaining all about the absolute nature and also about the material nature. So by hearing we may not experience it, but by hearing about the material energy, we can practically experience the material energy.
But not
just by hearing. But by experiencing what the Bhagavatam is saying about the material world, we can experience it's actually true. So that increases our faith in what the Bhagavatam says is true, so it increases our faith in the what it's saying about the spiritual nature. So as that faith increases, then the conviction increases. And when one accepts it as fact, then the Lord starts to reveal himself. That means you're accepting Krishna as fact. There's no doubt. Then Krishna starts to reciprocate. And he gives that revelation or realization by which you can come closer to him. So that's how it works. One portion. It has a big area, but that's one avenue. It'll be faith, conviction, complete acceptance and realization.
Getting more
knowledge and acting on that knowledge that you're getting also. You have to act on the knowledge also. Knowledge means what to do or how to do it or what it is, but that's not enough. When you actually do it, then the Krishna will reciprocate. Because knowledge is what to do and how to do it. That's all. Apart from, just stating the fact of what is, then it means how to interface, what to do and how to do it. So that's sambandha and avideya, and those two together they'll bring that prayojana.
Sambandha
That is what we have to do. We have to actually apply the knowledge. So that means voluntarily giving up material sense gratification and voluntarily engaging in the senses and spiritual activities of Krishna consciousness. Then depending on the consciousness in what you do that in, then that quick the realizations will come. Okay.
Today's verses mention that a person who is in the knowledge of the absolute truth, he won't engage himself in the senses and sense gratification. So please allow me to ask a question about devotional service. And in chapter 10, verse 9, in the third part of the second paragraph, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that in the preliminary state of devotional service, he said that they relish the transcendental pleasure derived from the service itself. But in the matured state of devotional service, they would relish, their next state of devotion is situated in the transcendental love of Godhead, and then they take pleasure, they relish a kind of pleasure that is the highest perfection, which is exhibited by Krishna in his own abode. So, I don't understand about this. Can you please explain these two stages? The preliminary stage, one derived the pleasure from the service itself, and then second stage, mature stage, they could relish highest perfection, which is exhibited by Krishna in his own abode.
Chapter
10, verse
9. In 10:9, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada said, in the preliminary stage, one derives happiness from the service itself. But in a mature stage, one gets happiness in direct Krishna consciousness, which is exhibited by Krishna in his own abode. When one engages in devotional service, automatically there's a lot of byproducts. And the first two is Kleshagni and Shuhada, that all everything becomes auspicious. All inauspicious things go away and auspiciousness arrives. But my own understanding is that when one is convinced of this process of devotional service and engages in devotional service, then one becomes satisfied. We're convinced of the fact that we're actually the eternal servant of Krishna, and we've forgotten him, but now we've given an opportunity to engage in his service in this material world under the direction of the spiritual master. Then there's nothing better that we can do in this world. So we become satisfied by understanding what we're doing. If we're sincere, it's the best thing we can be doing at this particular moment. You cannot improve on these 9 activities of devotional service.
You cannot improve
on these 9 activities of devotional service. So if we engage in those poses, especially if we're working under the instruction of the devotee, then we should be completely satisfied. It's the best thing I can be doing. So there'll be the happiness will come from that satisfaction. Your mind will be peaceful. There'll be no doubts. You'll be happy. This is the best thing I can do, and I'm doing it. All I can do now is improve the quality of the service. That means I'm making
effort.
So then one becomes peaceful, one becomes satisfied and happy. I believe that's what should have happened. That's my experience. And then the next stage is actually realization, when you actually understand, when you're actually perceiving the presence of the Lord. Then that's the greatest happiness. That's directly, promise that that's coming directly from the heart in Krishna. In other words, in the beginning we see devotional service as a means, but in perfection we see it as the goal. We feel it as a goal.
Shri Krishna is always satisfied as being a symptom of one who is engaged in his devotional service, and yet he also lists satisfaction as one characteristic of Guru goodness. So how can we avoid becoming complacent in that satisfaction and elevating ourselves to the
question is, to be always satisfied is a quality listed by Krishna as for one's practicing devotional service. Yet then again, he says that one in the mode of goodness shouldn't be satisfied.
Be satisfied. It's one characteristic of a person in the mode of goodness.
Yeah.
Satisfaction.
Then you said?
And then, this question has come up before. That one can become, there's a danger of becoming complacent in that status, in that situation.
But one can become complacent when one becomes satisfied, then one can also become complacent. How can we avoid that? Becoming complacent, satisfied in there.
He doesn't want to satisfy.
No, you're satisfied, but you become complacent. You're satisfied, but you're satisfied in the mode of goodness. You're satisfied with the service, but that's not the actual... you want there's more to go. You want Krishna consciousness from the heart, not from the mind. Well, best thing is association with advanced devotees. Because then we see what it's like to be a real devotee. So then we understand we have more to go. Then we won't become complacent because we realize we have more to go. Which means associating with Prabhupada's books. Because until one is actually perceiving one's relationship with Krishna, you won't be completely satisfied. So therefore we should always bear in mind the goal is to actually perceive Krishna's presence. And then we can serve him with affection. So the goal, but before that, then if we become satisfied, that's great, that's what we want. That's what you want in the material world. You want satisfaction because the material world is not a peaceful place. It's a great thing to be peaceful in this world. It's a very great achievement. But that's not the goal. That's the goal of the Mayavadis. So, always bear in mind what the goal is, to develop love of Krishna. The goal is to develop love for Krishna. Which is then one is actually complete. Otherwise, if you're satisfied, you may take birth again as born in a family of devotees. But you have to come back again. So the goal is not satisfaction, the goal is Krishna's satisfaction, not our satisfaction. So the greatest devotees are praying, Krishna, if you treat me roughly or tease me and make me cry and make me distressed and unhappy, if that's what brings you happiness, then that my distress, if that makes you happy, then that be my greatest happiness. That's devotee. Radharani is saying to Krishna, if you tease me and make me broken-hearted and make me in this position, if that's what makes you happy, then for me, then that would be my greatest happiness, to be like this. That would be my happiness. satisfaction is, that's just a byproduct. It shouldn't, it's not the goal.
Means
you should be accepted, tolerant with your material body and the material energy. You should be peaceful like that. Don't be too disturbed about the ups and downs of material life. That's what it means. Be satisfied. You're going to get old, sick and die. You can't avoid it, you know. You're going to meet this happiness and distress. It's unavoidable. But anyway, even through all that, you'd be peaceful. Be satisfied. What can you do? You have to experience these things. But never be satisfied with knowledge or advancement in Krishna consciousness. She asked that question.
Yeah, she asked it. Can you like specify the pinpoint, what's the difference there?
One is self-satisfaction, that I'm doing the best I can. There's nothing better I can do. Accepting quality. The other one is a feeling that is coming from the heart, is overwhelming. You don't want anything else. One is from the mind and one is from the heart. They're both there. Vijay, I'll give you a purple later. Okay, satisfaction guaranteed. Mahaprasade Govinde Namo Brahmani Vaishnava Lata Panya Param Rajan Vishkajani Gayate Shari Raja Jao Jaranya Dahika Tibet Berets.